Malachi 3:16. We appreciate the musicians tonight and the contribution they've made to our service. Preparation, preparing our hearts for the Word of God. If you take your Bibles, look carefully. This is the seventh in our series of messages on what's in a name. We began with the name Christian, disciples, saints, sons, servants, stewards. Tonight, jewels. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. We're reading Malachi 3, beginning with verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. Underscore the word jewels. Now hold the... Read it, but referred to it, and you see it later. We're told that John saw the heavenly city ablaze with jewels. And here in Malachi, we're told that the Lord speaks of his people as being jewels. We may say that this is figurative language, and maybe it is. But in Scripture, figures speak of facts. And we must think of it as such. Now the question we should be concerned with, are we the Lord's jewels? Are we numbered among those who are known as the Lord's jewel? If so, how does he describe it, us, and what is his attitude toward us? Three main points tonight, and we'll give you some sub-points. But the first main point is the Lord's jewels are precious to him. And this is certainly clear in the Word of God. There's a true story of a young girl who always sang, or she had a habit of singing while she was taking her bath. And while singing in the bathroom on this occasion, she sang, when he cometh to make up his jewels. And when she came to the last verse, she sang, little children who love their Redeemer are his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. And as she was singing, she was only seven, but she got to thinking of it. She had never trusted Christ as her Savior. So she did, right there in the bath, while taking a bath, she bowed her head and prayed and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into her heart. And all through life, when she was called upon to give a testimony for Christ, on many occasions she would say, I was saved while singing in the bathtub. Isn't that nice? And she was singing, little children who love their Redeemer are his jewels. And she got to thinking, I am not one of his jewels because I've never trusted him. Now, Webster defines a jewel as being a precious stone or anything or anyone who is highly valued. Now this begins to shed some light on verse 17, which literally could read, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I publicly recognize and openly declare them to be my jewels, my special possession, my peculiar treasure. Because when you look up the meaning of these words, they expand into these things which I've just said. And so when God calls us his jewels, it takes on different meaning. Now the word here, the key word to this, it says, they shall be mine. Now we need to ask ourselves, who is he talking about when he says, they shall be? Now they are those people whom I am gathering together to be my special possession, saith the Lord. Now you no doubt have heard someone speak of a little child as being a jewel. Haven't you heard someone say, she's just a treasure? She's so special to me. Well, that's exactly what the Lord is saying here when he's talking about his treasures, when he's talking about his jewels, when he's talking about you, if you are born again, believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's meant that this little one was precious and deeply loved by the person who said that she's a little jewel, she's just a treasure. Isn't it wonderful to have the Lord to say that about us? The same thing, the Lord has a people whom he calls jewels, his precious one, his peculiar treasure, or his special treasure, because he values them greatly and they're precious to him. And who are these people? They're those who've been born by faith into the family of God, have come by repentance and faith to become children of God. And what amazing grace this is, that the Lord should make us his jewels and should tell us and should put it in print that we are precious to him. What I want you to do is to think about your possessions in Christ Jesus. I want you to think about what God thinks about you if you have taken on the likeness of Christ. If you truly are clothed in his righteousness tonight, God has called you a jewel and called you precious. And you are one of his precious possessions. In his sight, you're somebody. And that makes us to be a peculiar people while you're on this earth, with a very special commission given to us of God, and one about which we should be mighty mindful. Now, why are Christians precious to him? If we're his jewels, why does he value us so? And I want to give you five reasons. Number one, like jewels, we're God's creation. No man can make a jewel. No chemist has ever been able to make a diamond or a sapphire or any one of these precious stones that are mentioned in Revelation 21, which I hope you'll read about later, beginning with verse 18. These are amazing and perfect products of only one creator, and that's God Almighty himself. There can be no worthy or no true counterfeit of his marvelous creative handiwork. Men have tried to do it. They've tried to make jewels. They're paste diamonds, and they've tried to palm them off on you, perhaps, and on me. But they can't do it. And likewise, no man can make a Christian. Only God can do that. And if we by grace are God's jewel, this is not due to any striving on our part. It's not due to any religious organization called a church. It's not by any effort on our part. It's due entirely by the mighty working of the Spirit of God in the heart of an individual who has heard the Word of God and receives it by faith into his heart, and the Holy Spirit of God takes over and works his regenerating work in the life of the individual. And we're born then by faith into the family of God and become children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It is a work of God Almighty through the Spirit of God, taking the Word of God and working a regenerating work in a life. That's how Christians are created. But we are created in Christ Jesus, the Scripture says. So it's due entirely to the working of God. We're told in John 1:13, not of blood, nor the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the same God who created this wonderful world in which we live is also the God who created us in Christ Jesus to become children of God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. There are counterfeit Christians just as there are counterfeit jewels. There are those who have the outward appearance of being Christians, who have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. They unite with the church, they submit to baptism, or confirmation, or whatever, and have the name of being Christian, but inwardly they are dead, never having known Christ as Savior. And in our chapel hour this morning, we heard the testimony of one of our athletes, one of our coaches here, how they came to Tennessee Temple never knowing Christ and lived in this atmosphere and sat in the pews in our church and sang the songs and listened to the mighty preaching of the hundreds of preachers that crossed this platform, yet without Christ. And it was a year later that he came to a saving knowledge of Christ when his stubborn will was broken and his heart yielded to Christ and he trusted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And it could very well be that there are counterfeits sitting right here in this service tonight who have never been born again. You're a paste jewel. A counterfeit. And you need to repent and trust Christ as Savior. Hypocrite. Paste jewels, not a part of God's new creation by virtue of his sovereign work of grace and the miracle of the new birth in the heart. God's jewels, Christians, have been made in God's divine workship, and they've been created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:10. And they can be made in no other way. Then, like jewels, we are a rare people. If we could dig up diamonds in our backyard, sapphires, rubies, pearls, or whatever, they would cease to be rare. And as such, they would lose their value. Now, there are few precious stones in this world as compared to the number of pebbles on a beach. Likewise, there are few who love and serve the Lord as compared to the multitudes who ignore him. Jesus referred to this when he spoke of the many who travel the broad way and the few who travel the narrow way. The time Malachi was writing his prophecy, there was only a few. There was a small remnant that was following after God who were truly God's jewels among his people. The majority were just like the common stones of the earth all around. And so it is today. Now the question is, are you among the many or are you among the few? Then like jewels, we are beautiful. Don't smile. Some of us are not very pleasing to look at in the flesh, but to God, we're beautiful. And you're beautiful. It's an astounding thing, but in God's sight, Christians are beautiful. We have upon us the beauty of the Lord. Psalm 90:17 speaks of it. If we're his jewels, he's put within us the divine life. We've been made, the scripture says, partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4. And he's placed upon us his own beauty, Psalm 149:4. That's the one you ought to mark. Psalm 149:4, for he says, he will beautify the meek with his salvation. He will beautify the meek with salvation. So to God, we're beautiful if we're in Christ. Because when he looks at us, it's Christ's righteousness which he sees, and it's not our own. And what a tremendous thing it is that because we are Christians, we are one of the Lord's jewels. God has clothed us with salvation. He has covered us with a robe of righteousness. And if we're God's jewels, then in his sight, we're as beautiful, I'm saying this carefully, as Jesus himself, for we have obeyed the injunction of Romans 13:14 and have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. For we are seen in him beautiful, and it's his beauty that is seen when God looks upon us. Then like jewels, we're different. Jewels in their natural state are different in size and shape and color and feature. Revelation 21 of the jewels are listed. And so Christians differ. In fact, no two Christians are alike. It's like snowflakes. They say no two are alike. I can't prove that. I've never compared them. Can't see them all anyway. But that's what they say. You can find no two that are identical. Some Christians are like diamonds. Some are like sapphires. Some like rubies. Other precious stones. But we all differ in like and kind. But we have all been made in the same workshop, created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:10. But we all manifest His beauty, but we reflect it in a different way and in a different place. And you are to reflect Christ where God has put you, and you're to show forth His beauty as a precious stone in the place that God has put you. Then, like jewels, we are precious because of our costliness. Some jewels are worth immense amounts of money, some of such value that no adequate price can be placed upon them. If we had time, we could research and give you some of the prices that were paid for some of the diamonds that have been displayed. I saw one I couldn't believe. It looked like as big as a baseball. What a thing. Tiffany's in New York once on display there. Just a monstrous diamond. It's almost impossible to put a monetary price on some of these stones. But think of the cost of our redemption. Think what it cost the Lord to purchase us, to make us His own. 1 Peter 1:18, 19 tells us, you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. We who are the Lord's jewels are infinitely precious to God because He gave His own Son to shed His precious blood and to die for us in order that we might be purchased with a price, bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:20. Now these are some of the reasons why God calls His people jewels and calls them precious. But what about the characteristics of jewels? Malachi 3:16 says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. The Lord hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. Now when the majority of people were out of touch with God and were turning their backs upon Him and going their own way, then there emerged a company of people who were different. And that's the crowd that Malachi was writing about here. They were His jewels. They were marked by three characteristics. First, there was reverence. They revered the Lord in the name of the Lord, and they feared the Lord. And it said here, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Now, this is not a slavish kind of fear, not a cringing fear. It means that they reverenced the Lord and were sensitive to His feelings. They were concerned to do those things that were pleasing to Him. Do you have that concern tonight? And do I have it? That's one thing I have to be concerned about. There was a time in my life as a child when I feared my father because of his disciplining rod. I knew when he gave a command that I must carry it out or I would expect his judgment upon me. So that was one kind of fear. But as the years passed, I still feared my father in a different way. It was a reverential fear. Now in his older years, later years, I feared that I would in some way offend him. I feared that I would do something that would not be pleasing to him. It was a fear that I kept in my heart always because I loved my father. I did not want to transgress his will or his wishes for my life. And I sought to please him. That's a reverential fear. Not a fear of judgment, but a fear that I would offend. This as the children of God, that we should cause us to be sensitive to everything that we do every day. The thoughts we think, the words we speak, the places we go, the habits of the flesh should concern us all because it reflects upon the beauty of Jesus that should be emanating from us as his jewels. And when the world looks at you, do they see the thing of beauty that God has created you for? Or is it marred by some habit of the flesh? The thoughts you think, the places you go, the words you speak, the friends you keep. All of this is something that should be of great concern to us. These people reverenced the Lord that they were supposed to be representing. And so should we. They feared to do anything that would sadden or displease him. Then they had a testimony. They spake often one to another. This is the second characteristic. They spake together of the goodness of his grace. Their lips were filled with his praise and testimony. They were like the psalmist who said, "Come and hear, all that ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." When you get together with other believers, what do you talk about? Is it difficult for you to name the name of Christ? Is the Lord Jesus so real to you that he finds a place in your conversation? Isn't this strange when we remember who he is and what he has accomplished for us and what he has done in us, that we find it so difficult to speak of him and to give a witness of what he has done for us? Is it strange to you that you find it so difficult to do that? He is our Savior. He is our Shepherd. He is our Sustainer. And we should not be ashamed to own his name. In the Psalms, we can see how quickly the psalmist breaks out in praise and testimony as he meditates upon the Lord's greatness, upon his goodness, and upon his grace. And one reason we're so slow to speak of him is because we know so little about him and we meditate so little upon what he has done and is doing for us. How is it that out of full hearts we do not talk more of his love and his grace? If you'll analyze this next statement, it might help you to know. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The abundance of the heart. Does your heart overflow? And if so, what comes forth? That shows what we really are. It's what we're giving in our testimony every day is reflecting to the world what we really are inside. In the words we speak, we should talk about him when we meet together. We should talk about him in the presence of those who do not know him, do not love him. We should not be ashamed to own his name. The Christian life and testimony should stand out to the world as different. We should be like zebras among horses. But the trouble is, so many of the zebras Christians are albinos. And you can't tell them from the horses. If they're zebras at all. You've lost your distinctiveness when you come to this. And it should not be. Then there's meditation. They thought upon his name. Perhaps we should change the order here. These three characteristics. And start with reverence. And then meditation. And then testimony. For testimony really rises out of the other two. Malachi tells us that the Lord's people thought upon his name. They continually meditated upon the glory of his person, the far-reaching benefits of his saving work on their behalf. And God is spoken of no less than 25 times in the book of Malachi as the Lord of hosts, the Lord of power, the Lord of victory. You've been hearing about today. This speaks of his power and of his greatness as being victorious in battle. He's the God of battles, of victory in battles. Many people are worried about feelings of insecurity. They've forgotten that their God is a victorious God. However darkening and threatening the situations of life may be, however discouraging or disappointing our personal circumstances may be, we need to realize that God is still on the throne. And Martin Luther said, God is our stronghold and our stay, our hope in tribulation. What though the mountains rock and sway to earth's long-hid foundation? What though the ocean roar fast gaining on the shore? The hurtling storm rage loud beneath the thunder cloud. Our hearts are still untroubled. Then he goes on to say, be still, the Lord is God alone. Let all the world adore him, and bending low before his throne, for pity and grace implore him. His kingdom is within, or hearts made pure from sin, where love that cast out fear exalts to feel him near. The Lord of hosts is our refuge. That's why we can sing, God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne. He never forsaketh his own. His promise is true, and he will not forget you. God is still on the throne. And we should remember this, how good, how wonderful it is to think and to meditate on these wonderful truths. But the trouble is, we're caught up in this old world with all the crap, clap, trap activities that we're involved in. We forget there's a God on the throne. And we're swept along by circumstances. And do we forget the rock to which we're anchored and all the precious promises that are ours in Christ Jesus, because we are his precious jewels? Now, what is God's attitude toward his jewels? Three special things I'll mention, and we're through. The Lord listens to them, and he delights in them. The Lord hearkened and heard, verse 16 tells us. When the people of God met together and talked about the Lord and rejoiced in him, he bent down from heaven to listen to them and to receive their worship. Isn't that wonderful? After the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus, two of his friends were walking along the Emmaus Road, and they were deeply troubled. They were perplexed. Then something happened. Jesus himself drew near and went with them, we're told in Luke 24:15. They didn't recognize him at the time, but they invited him into their home to dine with them. Then he took bread and broke it, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. And what was the result? They said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while we talked with us by the way and while he opened the scriptures? Their tiredness was forgotten. They hurried back to Jerusalem to tell their friends about their meeting with Jesus. And folk, I'll tell you this. When you have a meaningful meeting with Jesus, things are going to change for you. And you're going to realize anew what it means to be one of his jewels. They long to tell others. And this is the kind of live, spontaneous testimony that causes the Lord to listen and to rejoice. Then the Lord records their history. Malachi tells us when the Lord heard the conversation, the testimony of his children, that he caused that a book of remembrance would be written before him for them. Now, the fact that the book of remembrance was written before him indicates that every detail recorded in the book was accurate. Now, what is the book? It's not the Lamb's book of life, because God was speaking to his children here through the Holy Spirit. These are God's jewels he's talking to. I believe it to be the book in which God records the faithful service of his children. And what surprises we're going to have when that book is open. We'd like to go through and give you some of the names of some of the martyrs, Stephen, beginning with Stephen and others, that are going to rejoice when they look to see that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church and that their blood was not spilt in vain. And what a joy it would be when we see that God has answered some of our prayers, and we see folk there because we prayed for them, that he honored our feeble efforts to serve him while here on earth. How wonderful that's going to be. would see that he's blessed and prospered all the service rendered by small and great, the known and the unknown, when humbly and faithfully and joyfully done for his praise and glory. Then the Lord guarantees their security. He says, they shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels. Isn't that wonderful? What day is that? The day when Jesus comes for his own, when all the dead in Christ and the living saints are raised, changed and glorified and caught up together to meet the Lord in the air and the rapture of the church, the body of Christ. How wonderful that's going to be. He says, when I make up my jewels, how wonderful the grace of God through his tender mercy, that when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Will you be there? Will you be among his jewels? When he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Are you sitting here tonight like that little 7-year-old girl in the bathtub singing the song and suddenly realize she's not among the jewels? She did something about it. Are you going to sit here tonight and allow this message to pass over your head to others and do nothing about it? I hope not. I hope not. I hope that when this last verse, like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown. I trust and pray that every one of you will be numbered among those jewels that will adorn the crown of our precious Savior. Now, if it wouldn't be true, you can change it tonight. We're going to sing a verse of Have Thine Own Way. We're going to give you an opportunity to come. Whether you're visiting with us or not, I'm not talking about church membership. I'm talking about getting right with God. And I plead with you tonight to let the Lord have his way in your life, that you might be numbered among his jewels. You will come and trust in his Savior. Our folk will be here to pray with you. If you'd like to join our church by letter, some of you have moved into our city recently. If you've not established your testimony for Christ in this community, you need to come. Some of you need to come in rededication of life. Some have been saved and never baptized. You need to come. This will not be a long invitation. I urge you to move on the first verse. Would you do it as we stand to sing? 388, if you need the number. I don't think you do, but slip out and come. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Will you come? Just slip out and come right now if God has spoken to your heart tonight. Whether you be a local person or a visitor with us, makes no difference. You'll not be embarrassed. We invite you to come. We want our workers to be here to deal with you tonight. Don't linger back and argue with God. Come on tonight. If God has spoken to your heart, slip out and come on. While the choir sings. Come on, dear friend. God loves you. He wants to do something for you tonight, something real and lasting. And I say real. Are you a paste jewel tonight? Are you a man-made jewel tonight? That means you would be a hypocrite. That means you would be pretending to be that which really you're not